This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni, the happiest woman of all time.
I am so happy you made it to work today. I'm actually impressed. I really am impressed. I'm impressed that you're here.
I was sure to wear my Aztec red.
I love it. You know, I love it. I mean, don't get too depressed. I know you're worried about the next game, but enjoy it. Take care of the moment. But I mean, you got to give yourself some props. I mean, you're here. It's impressive. I mean, most people would have gone off the edge.
Yes, I'm proud of myself for making it into work today as well. I am proud of myself for having a voice as well, with how much I screamed at the television, was answering FaceTimes yesterday. Just like, oh my gosh, can you believe it? San Diego State in the national championship, first time in program history, first Mountain West team to make a national title game. And what an ending it was. Lamont Butler at the buzzer. And, wow. And Michael, I had fully lost hope. And so,
At what point? Okay, let's go through. When did you lose hope? Down 14?
No. So I actually bought back in on the Aztecs. This is the gambler in me. I bet the Aztecs +6.5 and money line when they were down. So I got like a +270 number on them live.
And you still came into work today with all this money in your pocket. I mean, that's impressive. But this should have been like champagne out.
So it's when there's like 2 or 3 minutes left that I am like, okay, this isn't going to happen. And then especially when it's the last 18 or so seconds and FAU gets the ball back, you think that they're going to score in that moment, but then Nathan Menza comes up with a block like he has done so many incredible times in the NCAA tournament, and they don't time out. So I'm like, okay, we're going.
I thought that was the best thing ever. To me, that's about coaching. That's about preparation. Larry Brown used to talk about this all the time. You should not have to call a timeout there. You should have programmed. You should have had game management situations where you handle that. Okay, we've got 18 seconds left. We're going to get the ball. They talked about going downhill. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, to me, a tribute to the coaching. I hate timeouts there because, mm-hmm. to me, the instincts, when you call timeout, you allow the defense to get set. What do we talk about all the time in basketball? Off of made shots, the defense has time to get set. Well, you call timeout there, you have time to get set.
And that's exactly what Brian Dutcher said in the postgame when he was asked about why he didn't call a timeout in that moment. He said there was no way we were going to let FAU's defense get set in that moment. So they go, and in a game where this is a team, this is an SDSU team, Michael, that is missing free throw after free throw after free throw. That's another reason why my faith was just shattered, because they could be up double digits if they just like.
I don't know if they could have been up double
maybe
digits.
Maybe with Dutcher.
I don't know about that. Calm down a little bit here on the double digits.
All right, I'm just saying.
I mean, but I thought the game at 65-60 was really the essence of the game. So, you know, there's a couple plays in there. San Diego State turns it over. FAU misses free throws, then San Diego State misses free throws. They get second chances. There was a moment where FAU had a chance to win the game at 65-60, and at the end of the day, they get outscored 12-6. From 65-60, they get outscored. With 5 minutes to go, they get outscored 12-6. Mm-hmm. It was a tribute to their ability to play defense, and FAU just, as they had typically done through the tournament, they didn't close it out. And look, you know, it's a heartbreaker. I will say this, Stormy. Watching that game, I'm on the airplane flying back from Louisville, Kentucky, Dallas to Las Vegas. And it's a fairly big plane. And, you know, we all have that app on our phones that we can watch live TV. And as the game is going on, you know, when Butler hits that shot, it's the plane just roared. Like, everybody couldn't believe it. That's how great it was.
Well, and that's exactly how it was at Viejas Arena, where the Aztecs typically play, loaded with fans. That's how it was at Petco Park. Look at that. Look at these guys.
I mean, the guy sitting next to me, we had one conversation the entire flight, and it was on this shot. It was amazing.
At Petco Park here, you see it as well. They played it on the big screen. Because San Diego historically does not have a championship anything, okay? Yeah. Like, this is, it is just, it's a city of defeat. And it is tragic.
Well, they here's have a at lot Circa of sunshine. Sportsbook now, as let's well. See the sports
I
book.
Love at the sportsbook because it's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You yeah. see the people that all the were people all on
that,
FAU.
That took FAU in the money line and didn't take
But then
the
there's
points.
My people in the upper decks yeah. there. There's my, and here's me.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I love it.
So I wish. So this is how panicked I was. I wish that I would have had a GoPro or a camera or something up like that because I had my whole family at my house yesterday. And it was the same reaction you saw at Viejas Arena in Petco Park just now yeah. was the reaction in my house because we all hold our breath for that second before Lamont Butler pulls up for the shot. And then as soon as it – like we are banging our fists, screaming. Oh. My house was absolute chaos. My 90-year-old grandfather was in tears. It was the best. It was so cool.
That's the beautiful thing about the tournament is the unpractical ability of what happens, right? Like, I truly think if Florida Atlantic played San Diego State 10 times, I think Florida Atlantic's going to win 8. I really do. I mean, they were the better team.
They were.
But San Diego State is older. They're mature. They're mentally tough. They fought through it. They didn't play their best. And maybe they would have won more, but they found a way to close that game out at the end. And, you know, I thought Dusty May was classy as can be mm-hmm. with his post-game comments. I mean, deep down, he knows he had the better team. They just didn't execute with 5 minutes to go. 65-60, yeah. he's got a chance to put that game away. And they just couldn't make enough plays.
And what impressed me most on the San Diego State side is they are not a team that is built to get out of a hole. Because they go on these scoring lulls right. and droughts repeatedly. So the fact that they are at a deficit of 14 points and are able to claw their way back
yeah.
and were able to hit the shot when they needed to. Like, and that goes back to my point about the foul shots. They were 13 of 22 from the free throw line, and then Lamont Butler makes that shot. Like, they were terrible in the mid-range game all day. Like, they yeah. were really, really struggling, and he makes that shot in that moment that's going to be played on highlight reels for years and years to come in the NCAA tournament.
I know it went over, well over,
yes.
but to me, I thought Florida Atlantic's defense was suffocating at times. And, I mean, there were some, you know, Bradley made some great threes, and they made some shots, but they were not easy shots mm-hmm. to make now. I mean, you know, and so that lull, but their defense kind of rallied them back in. And Florida Atlantic, as we talked about, they finally, I think, you know, they finally found their rhythm in the three-point shooting. I mean, they, you know, we talked about the rims and the setting and all the stadium and all that stuff, but I think they found their ability. It, to me, you know, that's mental toughness mm-hmm. when you find a way to win that. You know, you're able to close the game out. And I love that Dutcher didn't call timeout. I thought that was great. And unfortunately, you feel bad for Florida Atlantic. Mm-hmm. But now you got to look forward to UConn. I mean, enjoy yep. the moment. But here comes, this could be Villanova, Georgetown. This could be North Carolina State, Houston. I mean, this is one of those David and Goliath type matches.
The first thing I said to Michael when I came in here after I was, you know, glowing in my glory was, and now what is San Diego State's, what do they win? They win running into a buzzsaw now yeah. Facing the UConn Huskies.
I watched UConn and I'm looking at them and, you know, we had Tom Crean on yesterday and he talked about how Miami could dribble penetrate and they're great at doing that. UConn took that away. Mm-hmm. UConn took that away. And how is UConn a fourth seed? Like, how are they a fourth seed?
Well, because in the in Big East play,
I mean, I know they didn't win.
14
I know they were
14-8.
I know,
like, which
I know.
Is crazy. Like they,
it's insane. And we're talking about the Big 12 being the best conference in college basketball, and here's UConn fourth in the Big East. I mean, I watch them, and their bench is incredible.
Yep.
They keep bringing guys in off the bench. I mean, it was remarkable. Look, it's going to take and Dutcher maybe has a game plan. Look, it's going to take that special moment, that NC State moment, that Villanova moment with Rolly Massimino. Mm-hmm. It's going to take something like that to win this, to beat them, because there's no letting up with UConn. UConn is not drinking the Kool-Aid, how great they are.
Well, and this is why we told you, too, last week, just strategically from a betting standpoint, that UConn, despite being an odds-on favorite in the national championship odds going into the Final Four, had good value on it. I got a UConn -108 ticket here at Circa last week prior to the Final Four games. Now they're a -350
yeah.
favorite in the championship game against San Diego State. So clearly there was value on it. This game coming up tomorrow opened. UConn is a 6-point favorite, very quickly bet up to 7.5, the total from 130.5 to 132. So expecting defense to reign supreme in this game. But here's the thing is this will come down to can SDSU score enough?
Yeah, I
don't think that they can. UConn to this point has won every single game in the tournament by 13 points or more. San Diego State is coming off back-to-back games where they have won by 1 point.
You know, it's funny, too, because when you look at who they've played, right? I mean, they opened up with Iona. Didn't Iona have the lead at halftime on them in
yes.
the first game? I mean, and Patino, there's no better strategist than Patino. And I'm you know, so you know you've watched what he tried to do. They got the lead at the half, and then they were able to just take the game over. I think they're like a great heavyweight boxer, Connecticut, is the longer the fight goes, the stronger they get. And they just wear you down. And there's moments of the game where the game slips away. I mean, that game the other day, last night, with the opening part of the game, it was slipping away from Miami. When the big fella hits the three-pointers, you're saying, okay, what's going on here now?
Yeah, when Adama Sanogo is hitting threes.
I mean, come on.
He had one made three in all other games in the tournament.
Yeah.
And then turns it on in that game. So.
I thought we were going to break the streak of a ninth seed. It was 0-8 going in the tournament. I thought that was going to break. And with what, that shot? How close was Butler's foot to the line?
Oh, yeah. Oh, trust me. I know. I watched the close-up video as many times as they showed it. It was crazy. Both San Diego State and UConn, by the way, preseason, 60-1 odds or longer to win the national championship. Wow. So regardless of who wins, that's going to be the longest preseason odds by an eventual national champion since UConn in 2014.
In Houston.
Wow. Okay, we're going to step aside when we come back, talk a little NFL. Better or worse, are these NFL quarterbacks in a better spot now than they were last season?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com. Check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see the changes in action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way vsin's here to make you a more informed better. Again, you can check it all out at vsin.com. And because I was just in my Aztec fandom so much in the opening block, I forgot to let everybody know what an amazing guest list that we have coming up today on the show as well.
Well, you got to get it out.
I had to get it out of my system.
Yeah, that's right. We can start.
One more thing, if I can. Very happy for Brian Dutcher somebody who has seen his team knocked out in the first round every year since he had taken over and didn't get the opportunity in 2020 with a 30-2 season, and you were going to have a one seed in the tournament, and you never got to see what could be that year. Yeah. And so, anyways, just very happy for him.
How would you compare that team to this team?
I think that team was better.
That team
for sure.
Better. Yeah.
Probably
the league was better, too.
Yes.
It wasn't as balanced as it is now.
And while I hate for so many of those players that they don't get the opportunity now to be playing on the stage, I love that there are still pieces from that team.
Yeah.
And so just really, really happy for the program as a whole. But the women's title game is coming up tonight with Iowa and LSU going head-to-head.
Today? It's this afternoon.
It's 12 o'clock time.
It's a little early.
I'm just like programmed to say tonight, I think.
I know. You would thought that the way the ratings have been for the women's tournament, you would have thought that they would have kind of moved the game a little bit to change it so they could, you know, but it's 12 o'clock here on the West Coast, 3 o'clock on the East.
And ABC, and because it is on a Sunday, right? Like people
I guess
are at
NBA
home.
Basketball. They can't, you know. I mean, we'll have to get Will Hill to come in. He handles all the scheduling for all the sports. There's nothing Will Hill can't do. I can tell you that.
It's very true. We don't have him on today, but he will be on this week. We do, however, have Sherry Cole, former Oklahoma women's hoops coach,
one
Hall
of Davis's
Famer,
favorite coaches of all time. Al Davis loved women's basketball. It's one of the reasons why Mark Davis owns the women's basketball team here because of his father. But Sherry was tremendous. It was one of his favorites. Great player. She recruited, first recruit was Stacey Dales, the NFL Network analyst. So it'll be great to talk to her about the game. Mm-hmm. And she's a great coach with a great book out, too.
Yeah, be a great opportunity to talk to her. Yeah. We'll also talk with JVT, get some NBA and the men's tournament conversation with him. Zach Kiefer, Indianapolis Colts beat writer for The Athletic. Get his perspective on where the Colts are, what they're going to do with that number four overall pick. Are they really in for the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes? Could they have interest there? And Thomas Gable, of course, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata, will join us as always. But it is time now, Michael, for what we are calling Better or Worse. And when you see the graphic up on the screen, no, it is not a typo. We are a betting show, okay? So Better with an O in this case. And we're looking at some NFL quarterbacks who are going on new teams. Like, we are talking so much about Lamar Jackson and about Aaron Rodgers, who actually are not settled anywhere as of right now. So let's talk about some of these other guys who are. Starting with now Saints quarterback Derek Carr. Is he better off now or worse than with the Raiders?
You know, that's a great question. He goes to a conference, the NFC South, where, you know, it's got Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator down there. That gives him trouble. You know, Carolina's defense is going to be pretty good. Atlanta, not so good. Maybe they'll be better with some of the additions that they made. But I do think the supporting cast in New Orleans is pretty good for him. I think he's got a good offensive line. I don't know where Michael Thomas is. I mean, it's really kind of an injury-riddled career so far. But they're good around him with Kamara there.
There's Olave, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players there. So I think he's got a chance to really be a very good player there if he's protected and if he handles all the blitz.
And he has some familiarity, of course, bless you, with Dennis Allen. Was in Oakland when Carr was drafted back in 2014. He's going somewhere where he's wanted, which I think is...
I think he was wanted in Las Vegas. I just think, to me, he had so many career starts. You know, he wasn't able to produce a lot of wins. And I think there gets to a point where you just... It may be best for change for both parties. I mean, he's been through a lot of coaches. I mean, Mark Davis talked about that.
Yes, six.
And they haven't hit on a lot of the draft picks. You know, and last year he did not play well. When you look at the expected percent of completions for Derek Carr, he was in the bottom, he was in Justin Fields territory, which is really bad for a guy who's very good with the football. Now, maybe he wasn't comfortable in the McDaniels system and he wants to go to a more of a West Coast, which Pete Carmichael will run for him. But I think, to me, he's going to have to show that he can make plays when the play breaks down. It's one of the criticisms that every coach that has been with Carr has talked about. When the play breaks down, what happens? Do we make a better play? That's the key. Bryce Young, the play breaks down, something good happens. You know, even Justin Fields, that's when he's at his best, when the play breaks down. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be the key here.
Career record for Carr, 63-79, just two winning seasons, zero playoff wins. The worst game in his last year actually was against the Saints New Orleans. They didn't cross midfield, but now he gets that roster,
which
on
is
his
interesting
side.
Dennis was there to watch that, you know, and Dennis put a lot of pressure on him, brought inside pressure on him, and they couldn't do anything. So, but Dennis was only there for the little bit of Carr early when they were in Oakland. So look, it gives him a chance, right? Dennis Allen needs somebody to bridge the gap here. Right. They're still in search of their long term answer. And it wasn't Winston. Mm-hmm. You know, is he better? I think the question is he better than Andy Dalton? Everybody would say, yes, he's more talented than Andy Dalton. There's no doubt. However, being said, Andy Dalton didn't play bad. Other than the Arizona game, Andy Dalton did not play bad for them last year.
And I say all those negative things about Carr, but to your point about him having as many coaches as he did during his time with the Raiders, they did have the league's worst average defense over that time. And so I think he's in a better situation. And so I hope that he does well.
I hear that stat all the time, Stormy. And Danny Marino, that didn't bother him. I mean, he had one of the worst. Great players make the team great. Okay. I mean, come on. That's the thing about quarterbacks. Quarterbacks make the team great. They find a way to win the game.
He does have, over the last few seasons as well, the most game-winning drives. So I will give Derek Carr that. The Saints are the NFC South favorite, +110, 14-1 in the NFC.
That's where he fell short this year. Tennessee couldn't put the drive together. Pittsburgh,
I'm
third and five.
I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. Give me something.
I mean, I'm trying to help you here.
Their win total, 9.5. The over, actually, +105.
The Saints are 9.5?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Let's go to the other end of that, though, on the Raiders side, who now bring in Jimmy Garoppolo from the 49ers with San Francisco in 2022. Jimmy G had 11 games played. He went 7-3 in 10 starts before that injury came through. 67.2 completion percentage, 16 touchdowns, 4 picks, 3 fumbles. Obviously, he had a great surrounding cast, but he's going to get one in Vegas as well. And now, similarly, teaming up with a coach from his past in Josh McDaniels. I think the big question with Jimmy G, if he's better or worse in this situation, is health.
Well, I think everything about Jimmy G's health. I mean, because the guy is a winner. I mean, everybody can criticize him. Amal Shaw loves to take shots at him, you know, but I think that when you look at him, he wins. I mean, that's the one thing Carr didn't do. You say, well, he had a better team in San Francisco. Okay, so let's go back. He gets traded from New England to San Francisco. San Francisco is one of the worst teams in the league. They don't even want him. They want to sign Kirk Cousins. They just took Jimmy because they got him so cheap. He comes in, he wins 5 games in a row for him with a bad team. Garoppolo has a way that all quarterbacks need to have, which is make the team better. I think he'll make the Raiders better. I think they'll be a little tougher offensively because of his presence. And when you look at his career, I mean, the guy's career, he's won 40. He started 57 games. He's 40-17 as a starter. You can't deny that. You can't. Well, it's not somebody else winning the game. He's out there winning it.
And among active quarterbacks since 2017, he has the third highest win percentage of any quarterbacks behind only Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And who has the worst? It was Derek Carr.
Right. And so, but the reason I draw back to when he first went to San Francisco is they were not good there. Now, and then here's what happens. He gets hurt and the 49ers are, how do you think they got Nick Bosa? Because Garoppolo got hurt. It wasn't that they were a great team and they got Nick Bosa. Garoppolo got hurt. They couldn't win a game. I mean, look at Kyle Shanahan's record up until Brock Purdy without Garoppolo. And he's got a, and everybody thinks he's got a great team. It's so much mythology that goes into it. It's a narrative that gets created without any analysis.
I also think Jimmy G is a good fit for Vegas.
He is.
Like, just in general.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a, you know, I mean, look, if you know Jimmy like I know him, because I was in Cleveland, then I went to New England. We spent a lot of time in New England preparing for that draft. Jimmy G is for as handsome as he is and as debonair as he is, he's a down-home guy, and people gravitate towards him. He has a natural ability to get people to buy into him because he's an authentic person.
We saw that time and time again with the 49ers, and that's why there was the concern, I think, with the coaching staff when it came to, hey, we're starting Trey Lance last year, and we have to keep Jimmy away.
Or the team.
Or the team, yes. Okay, there are a couple more quarterbacks I want to get to. Maybe we can do it later in the show. Maybe we'll revisit it tomorrow. But for now, Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes fresh off a massive win over odds-on favorite to win the women's NCAA tournament, South Carolina. They are in action this afternoon against LSU and the Bayou Barbie. How are things going to play out? Former Oklahoma hoops coach Sherry Cole is going to help us break it all down when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming. Daily best bets, emails, including advice, data, and strategy, all just $9.99. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year coming up at Augusta. This year's upcoming Masters betting guide will break down every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups as well. Sign up today. Get full access to VSiN through the NFL draft for just $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. It is Championship Sunday in Dallas as Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes get set to face off with LSU, both programs in search of their first title in program history. To help us break it all down, we welcome in Sherry Cole, former longtime Oklahoma women's basketball coach in the Women's Hoops Hall of Fame, led the Sooners to multiple Big 12 titles, 3 Final Fours. SherryCole.com, welcome in. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and she's also a great writer, too. You know, one of my favorite writers of all time is the late, great Joan Didion. And Sherry wrote a book, Rooted to Rise. I encourage everybody to buy it. It's really good. And Sherry's got a great ability to write and express herself. and great leadership. You know, I always kid her all the time when we became friends because Al Davis was a huge fan of Sherry Cole. He used to tell me all the time, watch that girl coach. She can coach, and she'd be storming up and down the sidelines. So it's great to have you on the show. And I know he would be just in awe of Caitlin Clark. I mean, talk to us a little bit, Sherry, about her in high school and what you're seeing today.
Well, when we watched her in high school, she carried herself differently. She entered the gym differently. She carried herself differently during AAU games in the summer. She just had that it factor, if you will. And I think what's so impressive about where she is now is she's continued to refine her game and get better. And, you know, obviously Lisa Bluter and her coaching staff deserve a ton of credit for that. But so does Caitlin for continuing to kind of mine the areas of her game that maybe weren't quite as natural to her or quite as developed when she came into the University of Iowa. She's just continued to get better. And, you know, when I watch her play, Michael, I think Trae Young. And I think yeah. Trae Young, probably because he grew up here and I watched him when he was a little kid and then watched him at the University of Oklahoma and I followed him, obviously, through his NBA career. But the thing that Trae did was score ridiculously. Like, he would post numbers that were just insane. And yet it was not necessarily his scoring ability that was the best thing that he did. It was what he could do distributing the ball that made him such a great scorer. So it was just it was kind of a flip. He was, if you guarded him tight and you tried to help and take things away, he could just make you look, and still does, make you look silly by how he distributes. And Caitlin is exactly the same way.
And she already has the assist record, 17 points away from breaking Cheryl Swoop's record for the most points in a single NCAA tournament all time. The first player in women's NCAA tournament history to have back-to-back 40-plus point games. She has been doing it all. And I know it's hard to not be too prisoner of the moment when a player's star rises the way that hers has, but where does she rank for you in terms of greats in the women's game at this point and still with eligibility to go in the college game?
Oh, I think that's a really tough question. And it will be interesting to see if she continues throughout her college career, if she extends that and what happens in the future for that Iowa team. But I think what's just sort of puts her in a sort of capsule over here by herself is the myriad of things that she can do. Like, there's not anything she can't do. And yet she's somewhat average size. I mean, she's, 6 foot? And everybody's keying on her, and she's still making these things happen. So I think it's that competitive edge, that thing that maybe doesn't have a good name yet, or maybe ever never will, that thing, that ability to be her best in the biggest moments. I think that's an extraordinary gift. And probably what is separating her as much as anything right now and in the annals of women's basketball.
Sherry, put your coaching hat on. You're Kim Mulkey. You've got to defend her. And, you know, the one thing about great players, like you said about Trae Young, when you think you got to take them out, they make everybody else better. How do you think she will approach the Iowa offense with Clark as she kind of takes over the game?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that kind of gets lost in the storyline, or maybe not lost, but takes a back seat, is the fact that the complementary players around Caitlin are so good at doing what they do that if you commit a man and a half or two men toward Caitlin when you're on the defensive end, she's going to find that player. Not only is she going to find that teammate knows exactly what to do when she finds them. And that's part of her collective genius there. I think the other part being that Bluter lets her do what she does. You know, there are a lot of coaches who wouldn't live with a 30-foot contested three with 20 seconds on the shot clock. Bluter never blinks. She allows Caitlin to be who she is. So I think knowing a little bit about Mulkey and all the years of her playing against her teams at Baylor, I think she will really key on trying to keep the ball out of Caitlin's hands as much as she can to frustrate her in terms of touches or time spent on the ball, to try to distract her from playing in any type of rhythm that might feel comfortable to her.
here with Women's Basketball Hall of Famer Sherry Cole. And more on that LSU side, Angel Reese has been a double-double machine, seemingly unstoppable under the basket, has the most points of anybody in the tournament from the paint. How tough is she going to be for that Iowa defense as well?
Well, she's so athletic. That's where it began. She's a quick jumper, and she's a multiple jumper. She can quickly get from one bound to another, and that makes her a rebounding machine, obviously. Offensive putbacks, kind of her go-to. I think one of the keys in this game will be, can Sinano stay out of foul trouble? Because if she can stay on the floor, I think that can be a neutralizing factor, maybe at least keep Reese from producing the kind of points that we've seen her produce on occasion, because Sinano is a very smart position post player. She's very good in her own right, has terrific hands at rebounding. So I think that Reese, while she's very difficult to handle down there, Iowa might have not just Sinano, but some depth to be able to neutralize her a bit.
Sherry, talk about the style of play today. What style will LSU need to play, and what style will Iowa need to play to win the game?
Oh, Michael, that I think is the story of women's basketball throughout the tournament, but especially from the Sweet 16 on, is all the varying styles of basketball that you see. I mean, really, I can't think of a time when it has been so wide along the spectrum. You know, South Carolina is going to play the way South Carolina plays. They're going to play in the paint and may not guard a guard, one of their guards on the perimeter who holds the basketball, but they're still going to find a way to get the ball to paint and score, and that's how they're going to play in the half court. You see Ohio State, they're pressing 94 feet of the floor for 40 minutes every night. And then you see Iowa, who's able to stretch it, and they do a beautiful job with their pick and roll. Caitlin knows exactly when to dump it down, and Sinano knows just how to receive it and finish without putting it on the floor. They're just really, really good at that. And then you've got LSU, who's going to play very simply. They got a strong, tough point guard. They're going to put her in pick and roll situations. She's going to make good, tough decisions. She's going to defend the heck out of you. They got a shooter, a sharpshooter, they're always going to put in the corner. And then they're going to have Angel Reese, who does what she wants in the paint. And so LSU is going to play the way LSU plays. And Iowa's going to play the way Iowa plays. And it's going to see what we're going to see is who does what they do best at the end of the day. I don't think either team will fudge their style to try to stop the other. I think they're going to be exactly who they are.
Do you have a gut feeling as to how this one plays out? Iowa is a 3.5-point favorite in the game.
My gut would lean toward Iowa because of their years together. You know, they've got those two or three seniors, and Clark is a junior, and they've built their team sort of the old-fashioned way. They've hung around together. They can finish each other's sentences, and they're committed to each other. And as Caitlin has said multiple times, there's great trust among them. So I would say my odd, which means absolutely nothing, my head nod would go to Iowa.
You are fantastic. Thank you so much for the time, Sherry, today, Sherry.
Awesome. Everybody buy that book, Rooted to Rise. She does a great job. Sherry, thank you for being here. We appreciate you.
You guys are the best. Thank you for talking about women's basketball. Appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the best ratings. The jump that women's basketball in the college game has taken in television ratings this year is tremendous.
You know what was funny is, and she, you know, obviously she's handicapping the game kind of like how I do it from a non-betting standpoint, but the total at 160.
Mm-hmm.
For women's basketball. I mean, you know, that to me is like nobody talks about it. Like, we have 130 totals in men's basketball. You know,
these UConn
girls
SDSU
can put
total
the ball into the rim. They can put it in the net.
Caitlin Clark's point prop was bet up immediately from 29.5 to 33.5 points. Fun fact, of the previous 26 teams in the women's game to knock off the defending champion prior to the title game, only 6 went on to win the title themselves. Can Iowa buck the trend and Caitlin Clark get it done?
You know, Sandy, you're on your game. You're on your game.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As College Hoops gets ready to crown new champions, don't miss your shot with BetMGM to score a bonus bet for NBA action. Just place a $50 wager on the March Matchups Championship game on April 3rd, and BetMGM will give you a $15 bonus bet to use on any NBA game. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM today. Then opt into the promotion and place your bet on the tournament final to net your bonus. Hit the court with the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM, and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada or New York. Speaking of hoops, who better to welcome into the program than our own Jonathan Von Tobel, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Also host of Live Bet Saturday and Sunday here on the network. Welcome in, JVT. How's it going?
I'm good. Now, my voice has some huskiness in it because I was out late in the Las Vegas scene. It was my wife's birthday last night. Yours sounds pristine. Mine, I don't think I would have one after what happened with your San Diego State Aztecs yesterday.
She's a true pro.
I told Michael earlier that I am very impressed with how this voice has woken up because yesterday it was sore. I was raspy. I was not feeling good. The amount, like, oh, best day ever. I'm so excited, JVT. And listen, I know that I have been a pessimist at times. You almost have to have that approach, I think, sometimes as a fan, because you don't want to get your like hopes up too high and then have them ultimately shattered and broken and dead. But
that's sports. That's sports. That's what we do.
But JVT, you couldn't have imagined that this was the season that they would get here, right?
Oh, I mean, I think making a run in the tournament was realistic, but obviously, like you're mentioning, right, making it all the way to a national championship game the way that they have, sure. I mean, the probability was pretty low, but I think it's at times, and I'm going to include you in this, Stormy, shouldn't tell this team short, right? This is a nationally ranked San Diego State squad among some of the best defensive teams in the country that came into this tournament with a lot of experience on this roster, and which was incredible going into yesterday before he blew up, where their best scorer had not done anything for like four straight games and they were continuing to win some of these contests. So I think to like the actual probability of them making it here, sure, it's a surprise, but I don't think we should be surprised that a nationally ranked San Diego State team made some noise in this tournament and ultimately did what they do, which is muck things up, drag people down to their level and defend like hell, because it's exactly what they do.
I mean, just getting past Alabama to get to this point.
Well, look, they got past Alabama. Now they got at UConn. I mean, you know, UConn, JVT, have you ever seen a better number four seed in your life?
Right. They're incredible. And they're peaking at the right time, right? It's almost like San Diego State, except with UConn, right? They're just bludgeoning every single opponent they come into. But like when we look at this matchup, guys, look, not selling San Diego State short. I'm going to be interested to see where the market resists here at some point because we're at that 7.5 line. If there was a team in this Final Four that was going to be somewhat equipped to go up with UConn, it's this San Diego State team, right? It's a team that can play multiple bigs that are athletic and if they need to defend out in space. Like they have guys who are 6'7". My favorite dude, Aguekoro, but he plays like he's 6'9" with the way that he could explode and block shots. Nathan Mensah, again, I mean, Stormy, you and I have said this line 1,000 times. Like this is one of the best defenders in this tournament that nobody had been talking about. Mm-hmm. So I think that when you're looking at the way that they can match up with UConn, I can understand the market being high. But when you actually look at this and you bring another 6'9" guy off the bench if you need to in San Diego State, like I think you're looking at this and you're saying if there was a team that was going to kind of slow this roll for UConn and at the very least stay within this number, I think it is the San Diego State squad.
Where do you think the number ends, JVT? Where do you think you think 7.5 it's going to stop there? And what's your thoughts on the over total of 132.5?
Yeah, Michael, I would think that like 8 probably going to be the peak. Like if some of those 8s start to show, maybe there's going to be some buyback there. I mean, we saw it with that Miami game yesterday, right? That the market was like, all right, 6, like we'll start to buy back on that a little bit. So I would think that probably 8 is going to be the ceiling for this number. And as far as the total is concerned, I wouldn't be surprised to see this drop down a little bit more. This is what, 132.5? I do think that when you're talking about both of these teams, they're relatively slow-paced teams. You know, Florida Atlantic tried to speed it up a little bit against San Diego State, and they were successful. But I think when you're talking about the way both of these teams want to play, I think that you might kind of see not a rock fight emerge in this national championship game, but a pretty half-court oriented type of game, and there might not be a lot of efficient offense out there. I would lean to the under here.
Yeah, and that was just the second game all season that San Diego State had allowed a 40-point first half to any team throughout the course of this year, so that certainly was not the norm, and this total being bet up a little bit from 130 to 132.5, I kind of do lean under early here, and I did. I placed a bet plus 7.5 on San Diego State.
I
bet the money line.
And
I already have my...
you'll be betting in game, too.
I have my 70-1 ticket.
That's what's so good about it. You'll be betting in game. That's awesome.
I got to do it.
You got to do it. And it's not because you're a fan, because you're a better. That's what's so good about it.
The cool thing, Stormy, is like when you watched that game yesterday, well, the one thing that everybody kept talking about was like, so like as a defense, right, the best you can do along the perimeter is make guys uncomfortable and contest shots. At the end of the day, when the shot is released, it is somewhat more random in terms of if that shot's going to go in. Mm-hmm. San Diego State been getting not lucky, but those shots were not going in for opponents. Well, yesterday, FAU shoots 40% from three. That regression hits, and they still win that game. So your team's in a really good spot, I think. And I'm really interested to see where this market ends up. But I would not blame you at all because of your personal ties to this, and also just because I do think the San Diego State squad's uniquely equipped to handle UConn.
We've just said with San Diego State the same thing week after week. Just they can go on these droughts, and that's the one thing that really, really concerns me is, are they going to be able to score enough points in this spot? And UConn, for a team that, I mean, their worst win on paper was this past game against Miami, and they still won by 13 points. They've just been dominating everyone that's come in their path. But yeah, a fun journey so far. We'll see how things end up playing out tomorrow. We do have NBA action coming up tonight as well. JVT, two big games with the 76ers, Bucks, Warriors, and Nuggets. But you are going off the grid for your best bet today.
Yeah, so... excuse me. Let's go to that's last night. See, I was in a little worse place than you. Let's go to this Pistons and Magic game, because I think one of the angles that I like to take here, guys, and I took it the other night and it worked out successfully, is when you have two teams that are playing one another that are essentially eliminated from contention, these guys have like 4 or 5 games left. They see the end of the tunnel here in terms of the season, and it's a long season. And generally what you'll see in some of these games is you'll see a little bit quicker tempo, you'll see a lot less defense, and you'll just see kind of offense because guys just want to go out there, they want to play hoops, and they want to get out of there. And you'll see these games take a flow of like a higher scoring type affair. And you saw it, I think it was Friday night. Orlando played Washington, Detroit played Houston. Both games went over their respective totals because of this angle. So I'm just going to go back to this here. I think this is going to be a game where you're going to get a little bit of a quicker tempo. When you start to kind of scrape the depths of your bench and your roster, these guys who get into some of these games tend to play a little bit quicker because they want to get out there a little bit more. You've seen this too, right? I think this is up to 226.5. The market's moving in that direction as well. I bet this over 224.5. I still think there's some 225.5s out there, and that's playable. But these games against eliminated teams, especially when they're playing each other, these tend to go over, and that's an angle I'll use late in the season.
JVT, if you asked a common NBA fan to sell them where the Sacramento Kings are seated in the West, do you think anybody would get it right?
Probably, yeah, not. I mean, I guess, because I think
they're the third seed. I mean, like, that's like, nobody's going to think that they're ranked ahead of Golden State. So my next question is, who wins the West?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. We've been rolling with this on the podcast, Michael, where you tell me any team, just sell me on them. And I tell you, all right, cool. Like outside of like, right, outside of maybe like, I don't even know, like Dallas, because they're on the outside looking in and they can't get their stuff together. But this thing's wide open. But I'll say this, Michael, because in the Western Conference, every single one of these teams has been pretty inconsistent. The one team that's been the most consistent, I would argue, is Sacramento. They are the best team in the NBA in terms of offensive efficiency. And yes, are they bad on defense? Sure. But those two things have been stalwarts this entire year. We've known that they're the best offense, and we've known that they've been a pretty poor defense. They've been consistent in both of those throughout this entire year. And now they're going to get a home series against whoever they face. I think the Clippers are jockeying to play them, which I don't think they should. I think it's a terrible matchup for them. I think this Kings team, at the very least, Michael, is positioned to be like a Dallas Mavericks from last year or an Atlanta Hawks from a year before or 2 years before, where they made a run to their respective conference finals. I would not sleep on Sacramento at all.
JVT, we only have about a minute left here, but I think it's worth talking about. At this point in the season, there's only about a handful of games left. Like, how tough is it to bet these games in terms of sides? And do you have any advice for people out there?
I mean, I would say cut the unit sizes a little bit, guys. And I'll say this quickly, and I think Michael will agree with this sentiment. The other night, the Clippers played the Grizzlies, and at halftime, Kawhi Leonard doesn't come back out for the game. And they announce it in the middle of the game that they're resting him so he could play the second leg of a back-to-back tomorrow. I think that's largely unacceptable, especially for a league that is tied into sports betting and daily fantasy. It's a disservice to everybody who's watching and betting on this league. And on top of that, it just doesn't really make that much sense. So I would say very much like cut down the unit size and be wary, because you're seeing guys pop up on injury reports 2 hours before games nowadays. I think you really got to tread lightly, Stormy. In some of these games, like, you know, we laugh at Pistons Magic, but guess what? It's the one thing I kind of know with roster availability and as consistent as it's going to be. So I would say very, very much tread lightly till we get to the postseason.
And then we got to worry about who wants the how many balls you get in the lottery.
Right. Portland wants them.
JVT, you're awesome. You're thanks, best. Buddy.
Thanks, JVT.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you. Congrats, Stormy.
Thank you. This whole show is just a victory lap. Apologies
enjoy
to everybody
it.
At
if
home.
Not now, when, Stormy?
Well, enjoy I can
it.
Only enjoy it for a
few
more hours.
I mean, think about
hours.
How depressing it would be if you missed that shot.
I don't want to think about it. We're moving on.